Mother's Day, a time of giving thanks for mothers, a time of celebration. But for some, though, it's not necessarily a time of celebration. For some, it can dredge up some negative emotions. For mothers, motherhood has been perhaps unexpected and not always welcomed. For some physical reason, it excluded them from motherhood. For some, motherhood has brought many heartaches and perhaps difficulties. For some, motherhood was perhaps in their eyes a failure. What about children? No matter what age, for some, they did not have a loving mother. Some did not know their mothers. Some have lost their mothers because of a tragedy. And for some of us here today, our mothers are no longer with us. A time of giving thanks, a time of celebration, perhaps not for all. Let me pray as we just reflect upon and think about a great woman of faith and what God can teach us no matter our experience and how that faithful God will continue to be with us. Let me just lead us in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come just today to reflect a bit on mums, but Lord, as you know, for some of us that's not a positive experience. But Father, you are, as we'll be singing later on, the Ancient of Days. You never change. Great is your faithfulness. So Lord, we pray no matter what our experience was, that Lord, you can lead us and bless us and guide us, and we can learn something afresh today from you. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Mother's Day does not actually appear in the official calendar of the church, nor is it something that Scripture tells us to even keep, even though we do find passages about mothers, such as Proverbs 23:22. Do not despise your mother. Okay, fair enough. Mark 10:9. Honour your father and mother. I must text my kids. No, I won't do that. Mother's Day in a modern American innovation. That's where it came from. Unfortunately, it's now publicised largely for commercial purposes. For some centuries, there was an earlier tradition in some parts of England where the fourth Sunday in Lent, which this year was our 10th of March, was called Mothering Sunday. It was a time servants especially were given the day off to visit their mothers, and for some, to go to the local cathedral or church with their mums on that day, Mothering Sunday. However, the practice which really dominates Western society has its roots from the American Civil War, when a Mrs. Anna Reeves, a picture of her there, organised a special day for mothers whose sons were fighting on opposite sides. A day of prayer, a day of peace. Later, Julia Ward Howe, who wrote the hymn, Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory of the Coming of the Lord, organised a Mother's Day meeting in her town of Boston. By 1907, the idea was so popular that Anna Jarvis, the actual daughter of the Civil War campaigner, began a movement to make an American national event. In 1915, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second day in May as Mother's Day. Not to buy lots of gifts, but there to express love, reverence, think about mothers in the USA. From then up until now, it's got across the world a bit. In Australia, this is our second Sunday, so we follow that as a model. So that's where it came from in its early just beginnings. Acknowledging all that, let's just spend a short time this morning thinking about one mother in the Bible, the mother of Moses, whose name was... Okay, now I want you to talk to someone next to you. Who was the father? See if you can work out how so. Jochebed's the mother. Who's the dad? Someone's checking their Bible here. Who's the father? up top. Amran. Hey, these guys are awake up there. Sorry, I'm having a snooze. Amran is the dad. Jochebed. But he doesn't count. We're looking at, it's Jochebed just today. There she is. I thought I'd put up as question marks in case you were cheating on me. Moses, that mighty man of God, called and used by the Lord, perhaps best known as the deliverer and lawgiver of Israel. He was also a scholar, soldier, statesman. Moses and Elijah were the two men who returned to confer with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, you'll find in Matthew 17:3. Moses is known for writing also the first song that we find in Scripture. Exodus 15, anyone want to guess what it is? Exodus 15, I'll give you the hint. How old are you? The horse and rider thrown into the sea. And we just happen to have the music here for it and the words up on the screen. So if you're as ancient a days as I am, join in as we sing, I will sing unto the Lord, for he is triumphed gloriously. Let's just stay seated. You actually can do all the actions if you want to, but we can just do the singing, okay? Thanks, Geoffrey. Here we go.
I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, a horse and rider thrown into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, a horse and rider thrown into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength and soul, has now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength and soul, has now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him.
Oh, that takes me back a couple of years. Altogether, Moses is mentioned 784 verses in the Bible, 705 in the Old Testament, and 79 in the New. But what of his mother? What impact, what influence did she have on his life? This is supposed to move. No. Here we go. Well, first of all, Jochebed had Moses. Before Moses was born, the Hebrew people were actually increasing in numbers. The Pharaoh of Egypt at the time was afraid of their influence and so decided that every male child born of a Hebrew woman was to be thrown into the Nile. This decree must have been a tremendous test on Amran and Jochebed's faith. So you've got to remember, unknown to them, their little boy was destined to rule the Israelites, but was born in a time of fear and death. The couple had at least two other children, which we are aware of, two other children by the names of and Miriam. Oh, listen, you've been to Sunday school, have you? Or read your Bible, or one of those two. The Bible actually doesn't record their births. Perhaps they were born before Pharaoh's edict. We're just not quite certain. But few women have had to raise family in more of a difficult circumstances. The fact that Moses, Miriam and Aaron could come from a slave hut on the Nile says much about their mother Jochebed's faith and influence. And where do you find that in... I'm trying very hard. This is not working on me. Thanks, Jenny. Working now. Hebrews 11:23, which Margaret read out. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were, afraid of the king's commandments. The king's wrath was something to be reckoned with, but they discounted it because they honoured and perhaps feared God even more. They made up their minds not to have their child murdered just to comply with the edicts of a wicked king. In turn, God actually honoured their faith. I think most mothers, even if children are unexpected, have great dreams and desires for their children. After bearing that child for 9 months, then holding that precious life, a strong bond is usually created between a mother and a child. I know some of my mother's dreams included my name. My name is actually Anthony. Mum, even though I've been known as Tony all the time, thought that perhaps having that more of a nice name, if I became a lawyer or something, it would sound really nice. The awkward thing is, and I do remember a couple of years ago, I took the youth from Ferntree Gully Baptist Church and we went over to Cambodia and we landed in Siem Reap, International Airport, very small. And we were sitting there and we had to hand all our passports just over the counter. I'm sitting down with the youth and this guy shells out, "Anthony?" The youth go, "It's you, Tony, you idiot." Get up there. Oh, that's right. It's Anthony, isn't it? Sorry, I forgot that one. I do remember, though, and thanks, Mum. I have used that official name a couple of times. I've written to either local government or state government, and I've actually signed at the bottom, Reverend Anthony T. Burgum. I don't know if it worked, but it sounded good. So thanks, Mum, for giving me the option of either, "If you call me Anthony afterwards, there's trouble." Only my mum. When my mum called me Anthony, I knew there was trouble. Tony, everything was going really, really well. And even with that natural bonding, Scripture tells us something from the beginning. Jochebed knew there was something special about Moses, maybe also God's leading. We actually find in Exodus 2:2, she saw that he was a fine child. Hebrews 11:23, because they saw he was a proper child. Actually, even as we move forward in the New Testament, Acts 7:20, Moses was born and was well-pleasing to God and was brought up in his father's house for 3 months. There was something special that they knew about Moses from the very beginning. Those words there that they were saying, and perhaps that was the leading just from God at that period of time. You see, the hour was coming for the enslaved Hebrews to be delivered from Egypt. The prophecy given to Abraham about 4 centuries earlier, you'll find in Genesis 15, 13 to 14, was about to be fulfilled. To accomplish his purpose, God sent a baby into the world, born into humble circumstances to redeem his people, born to a mother of much faith. Does it remind you of another baby born in similar purpose? You see, our Lord God is a God of purpose. A God of purpose. Well, Jochebed had Moses, but also she hid him. As long as they could, Jochebed and Amram shielded baby Moses from the destructive powers of the world. They hid him within the 4 walls of their humble house. Nothing in that house could harm a little child. And we need to give thanks for homes like theirs. Negative influences and powers constantly await our children. As long as possible, like Jochebed, we need to shelter and shield children, grandchildren, from the world's destructive influences. Think of the violence, the immorality and perversion in many of today's TV programs, the negative aspects of the internet, the often foul lyrics and soul-destroying ideas in many of our contemporary music. And exemplified. I'm up, so. But not only spoken, I preached a message the other year, not only talking it, but walking that talk. You've got to be showing that. Better turn to this one, I suppose. It's gone off now. Can you hear me here? I just talk very loud when I go out here. Okay. Just turn your hearing aids down a fraction, all right, and you'll be right. See, that's important about providing that home, and that's what Jochebed and Amram had done for them especially. When baby Moses could no longer be hidden at home, Amram and Jochebed could well have said to each other, well, how will the Lord save someone who's condemned to death? Much like when God spoke to Noah about building an ark to save Noah and his family from destruction. Perhaps Amram and Jochebed reflected on their past history, how God had saved Noah and his family. Or maybe they were prompted by the Lord. But they placed young Moses in a basket, an ark. The actual word used there in the Hebrew is the same word, ark, as what's used back in Genesis. It's the same word. It's this place of safety, this place where God will take care of you in that time. They put their baby in the basket and placed it among the reeds in the waters of the Nile, where death was everywhere. You've got to keep in mind, young children were being thrown in there, young boys, every single day. But they placed baby Moses in the basket, in the Nile, waiting for God to be there. There's a great song which talks about a hiding place. Anyone know what it could be? You are my hiding place. We just happen to have musos and just happen to have words up there. Let's sing, You Are My Hiding Place.
You are my hiding place. Fill my heart with sounds of deliverance. Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with sounds of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you.
Could you imagine that being sung? Not that far back, but never mind. But can you imagine what Jochebed and Amram are going through as they place? They don't know. They don't know the story of Moses. They just know that they got to trust in God there, especially. By a deliberate act of believing faith, backed by the power of godly lives, Christian parents should also be committing their children to the Lord God. He alone can surround them with adequate protection once they've had to venture out beyond the confines of the nurturing home. Someone has written this: between the child and God stands the parent, a separating wall or a connecting link. Between the child and God stands the parent, a separating wall or a connecting link. I'm having trouble again here, Jenny. Well, Jochebed had Moses. She also hid him. But what then? Of all the so-called coincidences that have changed the fortunes of this weary world, among the greatest are the events surrounding the discovery of baby Moses. You most probably know the story well. The royal princess found the little basket in the bulrushes. She sent her maid to fetch it. And just when it opened, we find in Exodus 2:6, the baby was crying and she felt sorry for him. Oh, that was that. That's it. But Jochebed had not left her baby alone in the basket. See, his sister Miriam watched over him. Likewise, even when we commit our children to the Lord, we can do that. God still expects us to be wise, to look out for, take care of, use common sense in raising children. As soon as Miriam saw what was happening, she came closer to the water and perhaps with boldness spoke to the princess, shall I go and get a Hebrew woman to nurse the baby for you? The princess had not thought of that. Of course she needed a nurse. The baby was not yet weaned. We can picture her commanding Miriam, fetch a Hebrew slave nurse to this child for me. Tell the woman that I will pay her. So Jochebed received a wage for raising her own son. Talk about having paid paternity leave. For Jochebed, this was reward for her faithfulness, but also for the opportunity to be a mother, moulding and influencing the life of her Moses, her son. We do not know how long the princess allowed Jochebed to actually nurse Moses. Often in those days, a child was weaned for several years. And Isaac seems to have been 5 years of age when he was weaned. No doubt the faithful, godly mother, Jochebed, took full advantage of the few years she had. Before Moses would go out into the world, she wanted to drill the truth into him in a way that he could never forget. What did she teach him? In Genesis, the book of Moses, the book that Moses wrote, he recorded the truths that perhaps his mother passed down to him, truths that were modified, amplified, and confirmed later and incorporated by the Holy Spirit into the Word of God. The Jesuits have a saying, give us a child until he's seven, and you can do what you like with him after that. You can imagine that Jochebed took full advantage of this period that God had given her to be a mother, actually to her son. Eventually the order is given, send me Moses. As Jochebed kissed Moses goodbye, she probably said, remember what I've taught you, my son. And Moses never forgot that he was a Hebrew. The universities of Egypt, the temptations of the palace, the lure of position, the power, the wealth, the possibilities of worldly throne never erased his mother's training. And so we read in Hebrews 11:24. Thanks, Jenny. By faith, no, that's right. By faith, when he, Moses, had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was something deep in there that his mother had taught him and was there all the way through. The story of Moses is a story of faith. The faith of Moses, but firstly, the faith of his mother, Jochebed, and father Amram. Jochebed was a mother who had faith in and trusted in the Lord in difficult situations. Who in here can seriously say they haven't had a difficult situation? If you are, I'll have a chat with you afterwards. You're most probably just telling me a lie. No, you could have had a great time. Can you picture what they were going through? And they trusted, and we can that as well. The story is also one of the faithfulness of God. As we sang earlier, great is thy faithfulness. to those who seek him out, but also of the Lord of creation, who has purpose and plans for his creation, and the whims and the plans of man will not get in his way. We sang a song last week, which we're going to sing again in a few minutes, called Ancient of Days. The first verse goes like this. Thanks, Jenny, it's up on there. Though the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one king reigning over all. So I will not fear, for this truth remains, that my God is the Ancient of Days. I reckon Jochebed were looking at that and going, I know. Even though I have no idea what we're doing, I'm going to trust you. But the story is also about a mother having to let go of her child. Not once, but actually twice. Few will be asked to let go of their children as early as Moses' mother. But every mother will eventually have to let go. The story of Moses' birth and of his mother's faith is a story that should inspire us to greater faith. From this passage, we can learn that God has a plan for our lives. Do you have the faith of Moses' mother to be willing to let God act in your life and those of your children for his purposes? As you, as I look at our own lives, do I know for certain that you have tuned your hearts to the Lord so you are willing to follow him by faith wherever he leads and whatever he asks? That's a big call, can I tell you? But that's what Jochebed and Amram did. The American Thomas Edison wrote this of his mum. I did not have my mother long, but she cast over me a good influence that lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her appreciation and her faith in a critical time in my experience, I would never likely have become an inventor. I was always a careless boy, and with a mother of different mental caliber, I would have turned out badly. But her firmness, her sweetness, her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me. The memory of her will always be a blessing to me. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for us? This is a great account. This isn't a story, because this is real. This is an account of how God did work and can work, and about the faith of a mother and a father to say, I give you this. I don't know what's going to happen, but I give you this. Please be there. And that's got to be our challenge every day. What is God calling you to do? Do you have enough faith to say, yep, I'll jump into the ark? Maybe. No, we will do. Let me pray. Father, thank you for this account of Moses, this account of Jochebed, a great woman of faith. Father, a woman who obviously just trusted in you and knew that she couldn't do anything, but you could. Please help us, Father, because we often find ourselves a bit like that. Life just seems to come in from all over the place. But Father, you haven't changed. You are still the God of creation. Please help us, lead us, guide us, encourage us, challenge us. And Lord, may we continue to know your leading in our lives. We ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.